why are they lacing marijuana? Why are they lacing regular street drugs? Because it gives them a much quicker effect, makes a typical street drug that somebody may have a little more control over completely out of control. And now they're buying it in an addictive, must-have type way.
Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast, where we ignite the future by empowering our youth. I'm James McLamb, your host, founder, and CEO of Generation Youth, and the author of the best-selling book, Tomorrow's Youth. Whether you're a parent, an educator, youth pastor, or coach, join us as we dive into the pressing issues facing our young people today. Together, we'll unlock the strategies, insights, and inspiration to elevate and equip our next generation. Stay with us, and let's make a difference, one youth at a time. Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast, another exciting episode for our listeners and viewers. I'm here with my friend Zeb. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, thank you. Ed, thank you for asking, and how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's a good week. When we're recording this, we're into the first really full week of April, so it's a good springtime in the South. The weather is up and down. Yesterday it was very hot. Today it's very mild. So who knows what's going to happen in the South. So, well, Zeb, I was excited when you and I had our first conversation just several weeks ago about the topic we're going to deal with today. But before we even dive into that, our audience would like to learn a little bit about you. And they would really much rather that you tell them about you than James says an introduction about you. So if you wouldn't mind, introduce yourself to the Generation Youth community.
My name is Zev Gutman, and currently running a project called Social Bub, socialbub.com, socialbubb.com. Thanks for putting it up there. What our goal currently is, we would like to create this kind of circular community. And it's by a graphic on my website, which you see professionals, teachers, and parents to get together in one space, okay, where they can gather. And number one, we could have formal, written, evidence-based, and peer-reviewed, studied curriculum, okay, that teachers and educators can deliver to children, I would say, we say K through 12, but anywhere from 7 years old all the way going through adolescence, teenagers to 18, okay, from like seven to high school, you know, through high school. And the idea is that the whole idea of Social Bub in a nutshell is this circular, you know, as you see it on my website, which, you know, just keeps it simple. You see that picture, you know what it is. It's so that the professionals, the teachers, and the parents, which is a rare environment right now, okay, using the power of social media technology, okay, in a private community setting where we could host courses, where we could host virtual events, schedule live events, and directly interact with these professionals and educators and the parents. And the ultimate goal is to deliver, first of all, have the curriculum present for parents, for teachers, educators first, to deliver directly to the children in the classrooms, and as well, to have them communicate with parents and have parents be able to reinforce that same education so we're all on the same page, right? Supported by general professionals in the world of substance use disorder, we call it SUD professionals, right? To have them together in this room to be supportive and ultimately teach both parents and educators how it's best to talk to their children. So we're all having the same conversation about, and what is it? It's not, oh, say no, we're done with there and say no. Everybody seems to be way past that, right? So what our main goal is, hey, how did drugs affect your body? You know, and there's all kinds of methods. People are like, okay, we're going to identify the high-risk children, so we're not even going for that. We just want to teach the general population. We want to include everybody. How do drugs affect your body? What does a life look like without addiction? And what does a beautiful life look like with addiction? And to give children a real good understanding and knowledge base of, well, I have a choice. I have a real choice in my life. I can go in this direction or I can go in that direction. And whichever direction I choose is how it's going to impact my life. And hopefully they'll really appreciate what it means to not be addicted and to live a sober life and to live a productive life and what that means to society as a whole when it comes to contribution. And that we're just kind of creating this circular environment around it, but it's all about getting this information to children to give them good choices and options so that they can make their own decisions about how they want to lead their life. And that's in a nutshell what it is. I can continue about what we're trying to remedy if you want, but that's what we're doing.
Well, I love the topic of substance use disorder and tackling this. Why is this something that you're so passionate about? Because, you know, if you go to your LinkedIn page, you even talk about the fact, hey, I was in this industry for so long and now I'm dedicated to this. Why? What drives you to do this?
Well, I was and is in this industry so long, which is the construction and insurance claims handling industry. Well, in fact, I'm self-funding this entire project at this very moment until we can get funding work, you know, and get paid for work. You know, I'm self-funding it. Where's that money coming from? It's coming from my own successful, you know, business, right, that I've been in for 10 years. But what got me into this? Well, you know, I think I had COVID in early March of 2020, which is the first wave of COVID, which was the hardest wave. And it took me about 6 months to recover, you know, on the couch in my living room. The recovery was intense. It was just chronic fatigue is pretty much what I experienced. I recovered from the main symptoms, but I was tired for 6 months. So I couldn't move. Okay. And what happened is when you're tired and sitting on the couch, there's some point where you get to think, you know, you get to thinking. Well, you get to thinking and what you're thinking about, well, what's next? You know, here I am, the construction business and the claims handling business was at its all-time low. The construction business, because nobody wanted to meet you, but the claims handling business, well, why? Because if somebody's pipe broke on a washing machine, okay, and they were there in the home, they stopped that pipe from running water, and then that claim was squashed, so that business went down, right? Mm-hmm. And people didn't have as many fires as they do in a normal situation when they're out where they're out to work, right? So that being said, that business was really slow. So we're sitting here like, what's next? And, you know, in June or July of 2020, there was a lot of uncertainty about life. And even still in December of 2020, vaccine hadn't even been up.
Yeah.
Right. So we're like, well, I recognized that social media was a very, very toxic environment as a whole. But I'm like, well, how could we do something good about how can we utilize the technology? So I found technology for private social media platforms, researched them, went around it, found the right technology, tested, tried, found the right technology I wanted to be on. And I originally went into health and wellness. Well, I found out the hard way that everybody became a health and wellness coach during the pandemic. Everybody. And I'm talking everybody. So About October of last year, okay, I'm recognizing I live in Center City, Philadelphia, and I get these, you know, emails in the morning from it's called the Philadelphia Patch, and they're really like, I don't apply to the Citizens Advocate, that would be just too nerve-wracking, but they report the main incidents. And what I recognized through watching the morning news is on this Philadelphia Patch email was that they call Philadelphia a very violent city. But Philadelphia, you walk down the street, you know, it's not like everybody's shooting each other out. It's pretty calm areas that you can live in, some really nice areas of Philadelphia. It's not like that, what they report on the news. The violence is very concentrated. It's certain neighborhoods, and it's specifically going on between young teens, young adults, adolescents to young adults that are basically shooting each other out over drugs. And I'm like, wow. That's really bad. So what can we do? And then I started like pivoting, you know, started making changes to my website. I did a whole redo, but I started pivoting, started looking for content, started pivoting my entire environment to, yeah. Interestingly enough, on October 7th, it was a Jewish holiday, and I ran into a doctor, an Israeli doctor, who was in Philadelphia for a conference. And just a general medical conference. And her name is Dr. Ronit Lev. And we're just talking and schmoozing about what I'm doing. And she's like, you know, I'm doing something like that. The main thing that I'm doing is about drugs. And you should come to a two-day summit, virtual summit, online that we're running out of San Diego with an organization called HIDA. And you should join this summit. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And just show up. So I did. I didn't know what I was going to gain or lose or gain. Nothing to lose. I didn't know what I was going to gain, but I showed up. And I attended the whole 2 days as much as I could. And ran into some really amazing people, okay, who had some really good stuff to say. But I identified a few holes in the system. And I was, first of all, made aware that this is a very, very serious problem. Something that they didn't know. I just thought it was little shootings here in Philadelphia, but I didn't know. I didn't know about fentanyl. I didn't know about xylazine. I didn't know anything about this stuff. I'm a businessman. I know technology, and I know how to, you know, work with money around as a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm good at enrolling people in conversations. Okay, great. So, but what I identified clearly was number one is there's a lot of money, a lot of government money. And as I'm digging further, I'm learning this more, reinforcing that what I learned back then, there's a lot of government money that can be allocated towards this. Just you have to go after it. So that's the businessman in me. Okay. And then what I recognized is there was a real hole in the delivery of the education. Like, it was just like great educators, but no real good system, no good delivery mechanism. So I very quickly said, wow, I would be a brilliant match for this situation. And the match is my business and technology already did all this research. I know I have the environment already set up, built the stack. It's done. And I could just move over and allocate towards this and continue forward with that. And then, you know, just take the health and wellness, silo it off, just put it away in a closet somewhere, you know, section it off somewhere else. It's there, but, you know, and my health and wellness coaches that I have may bring them back in. You know, it all works together.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing when you were thinking that. I was like, eventually that would need to come back in some way. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, as soon as I turn this thing, I'm in the process, as we speak, of turning this thing is going to be turned on, you know, mm-hmm. by the time this airs, you know, full throttle, actually. So we're within the next 2 days, pretty much, we're going to be full throttle. The community is going to be open, and we'll talk about that in a minute, bringing people in, registering them. But what I see is I can fill this gap, and the gap would be very, very simple. It is we have a business attitude. I'm not a non-for-profit. I am a for-profit business, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And properly apply for the government funding, so we get funding, okay? And get the schools to let us in, you know, talk to the schools to allow us in, create excellent curriculum, and organize and keep organized this community. So the answer to your question, I hope I answered it, maybe a little elongated here, but the question you asked was, well, what caused the passion? Passion was me arriving at this knowledge and seeing it and recognizing that I have the ability to make an impact in the world. I'm 47 years old. My grandparents, you know, lived till 96, 93 years old, 95 years old, you know, and it kind of more of the mother's genes. Dad, my father's dad lived till 80, so that's long enough. What I'm saying is that if I'm going to live that long and I'm 47 years old and we've got another 50 years and I'm not the type of guy whose goal is to retire, you know, my goal is to work until the grave.
Yeah.
Right. You know, my goal is to work until, well, there's 50 years to do some really good work in this world. And so when I recognize this and I see I have the power and the gift to be able to make an impact, well, let me get to it. And that's the answer to your question. Sorry, I took a long road to get here.
No, I love that. I love it. And I'm with you on that. So I went to this is kind of a sidetrack, but I went to an attorney when we were setting up our estate, redoing our estate planning a year or so ago. And he was like, what are your goals for retirement? And I was like, what is that word? I says, I don't understand what that word means. I said, you know, I love what I do so much, I'm going to do it until I physically cannot do it anymore. I said, I'm not going to get to a point where, hey, this, you know, I've made enough. I'm going to go off and golf or travel. I says, yeah, you know, I'm going to live my life with a passion and purpose. So I'm with you 100% on there. I love that you want to create this delivery system. And when you said, I saw the hole and I wanted to, you know, it was like, I saw the hole and I can fill it. I saw the gap in between what is available and what people are receiving, and I can merge the two. I can create a bridge between the two. So I like that. So that's the problem that you're looking to solve, is creating that bridge between the content and information that's out there on substance abuse and then the delivery of it. So what is the content that's out there? You know, what is the gap? You know, what information do you want to give them? Let's get the audience excited about what can be available for them, because I think we all see on the news too much, you know, the fentanyl crisis, even though statistically, current statistics on youth are showing that drug use, reported drug use is down, it seems to be more severe. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that statement?
100%. And I'll back that up with all the meetings that I carry on. I carry on every Monday and Thursday, I conduct meetings. And I'm usually meeting with two or three professionals in the industry. So there's a lot of meetings with really, really, really good A-list people, you know, good people. The answer is very clear. So while you said that drug use is down, the death rate is up. Raw.
Ooh.
Because, okay, so they are lacing. So on a regular day, you can go down the street. And that's why I'm all for, while there's an inherent opinions in all directions about the use of marijuana in the ages and everything like that. But I will say that I'm all for having it in dispensaries and having it prescribed by a doctor, okay? Because actually, I would believe that marijuana is far, far less toxic or dangerous than OxyContin, okay? Which is also...
I would agree with you there.
Right. But the death rate, right, and the professionals that I'm listening to, and I'm just passing information along based on what I've learned, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not the guy with the PhD. Remember, I'm a businessman. I built a platform, and I'm looking to make an impact, but I'm getting these people together. So that's, you know, people are far more knowledgeable. So I'm just sharing the knowledge that I learned from them, okay? Now, the knowledge that I learned from them was that you take your average street marijuana today, or your average street meth pill, or your average, or your even your average heroin, okay, or cocaine, that in the past, you know, you could take a dose of it or whatever it was without overdosing, okay, not just a regular dose, but it's laced with fentanyl and xylazine, and you wouldn't know about it. That's why the fentanyl test strips, you know. And you wouldn't know about it, okay? But because there's fentanyl or xylazine in it, okay, the instant reaction is immediate death. And that's why the death rate is going up, because unless you source your marijuana either directly from a dispensary, use the word kosher, why not? unless you source it from a dispensary directly, or you know your source, you're getting it from a very clean source, you are basically, you know, you're vulnerable to anything.
Why are they lacing it now where they used to not? Because the first thought that came to me when you said that is, from a business perspective, that's bad business. You want to keep your customer. You don't want your customer to go into something severe where they can't come back to you. So it seems like you would want them to get just enough excitement off of what you're buying, what they're buying from you, in order to want to come back, not to have such a severe reaction that you've lost your customer. So why is this happening?
Okay, that's a good question. And I can answer it. You said business, the word business. And then you said the word, why would they do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first of all, businessmen can get really foolish by greed. We have a few words called greedy. The greedy are needy. The needy are greedy. And money makes people funny.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand that analysis, and I have seen, and I'm not dry, I've been in business for 47. I've been in business since I'm 18 years old. And I've worked for business people, and I am a businessman myself. And as a businessman, by the way, to keep yourself in check, to not do anything funny, is really, really hard throughout your business life, okay? So businessmen, and we see it even in the largest of corporations, do really foolish things, make really foolish decisions that drive their business right down into the ground, sometimes really fast. So for us to say, oh my God, these are businessmen, some of them are actually really good businessmen. So this is the path they chose. But most of them are really bad business people, right? So that being said, don't worry about the business end. These are not good business decisions, and they're making some really bad ones. The greed. What's the greed? The greed is, oh my God, this stuff is so potent. We can give somebody marijuana laced with fentanyl xylazine, cause a much quicker high so that they'll come back and they'll get, you see, marijuana in and of itself, as much as whatever you want to say, from what I have learned, is not addictive. But if you add, and there's debates, but alcohol is far more addictive than marijuana will ever be standing on its own. So the thing is that if you take, nobody has that real incentive to lace alcohol with fentanyl or xylazine. That's just going to stay where it is. You know, alcohol, we want to address that equally, but that's going to stay where it is, okay? Although we do want to inform kids not to be drinking, get up to a 4 back count, that'll kill them, right? But that's, you know, that's in its own department. But why are they lacing marijuana? Why are they lacing regular street drugs? Because it gives them a much quicker effect, makes a typical street drug that somebody may have a little more control over completely out of control, and now they're buying it in an addictive, must-have type way. And from what I understand, that is what I have learned to the best of my humble understanding. Is the answer to our question.
So they're lacing it because it gives them a quicker hit, and with the goal is to have a customer and then they wants to come back and get that hit again. But due to the nature of the way it's done, it can occasionally be overlaced or improperly laced, and then that's the results we see in death. Am I understanding correctly? Did I read that right?
Yeah, and a lot of these people are people who don't really have a good science degree or chemistry degree, right? So they're not, although unfortunately, you'd be surprised how many people are in the business who do have a good degree in that, and they actually know what they're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are maybe the people who don't die. But I would say that most people who are cutting fentanyl xylazine into these everyday marijuana are people who, I would say at least 90% of them don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Let's guess that 10% do, you know, and they're the smart ones, you know, but they're the good business people. But always everybody's attracted to this greed and this chase of making money really, really quickly. And by the way, in regular business, you know, being in sales platforms, and I have seen, you know, even when I was going door to door selling Comcast here in the Philadelphia region. I first came down here before I got into the business that I am in now. Okay. I could see the short-sightedness, like burning territories. These are big, big companies, mm-hmm. but I could see the short-sightedness, the need to make a quick buck. And that's across the board from a business. So business people all the time hurt themselves with a lack of focus. So you can't say that yet.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. So from you talking to experts, you said on Mondays and Thursdays, what are some of the ways that we can help fix this problem? What are some of the content and curriculum that you want to create? And let's focus first on something that we could deliver to teachers, because that's who you want to go to. What are some of these, you know, possible solutions? Because I'm thinking our audience is listening and they're getting kind of antsy and they're like, okay, you've gotten me kind of scared here about what's going on. How do I teach this? And the teacher's going, I see this every day. What you got for me? Give me something that I can apply. So what are some of the things you're seeing that could be a practical help for them?
From a practical perspective, in order to get something into schools these days, it needs to be quote unquote evidence-based, whatever that means. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say evidence-based is we have the evidence. We have the evidence. Do you remember when teenage pregnancy was at its all-time high in the 80s?
Yeah. Late 80s, early 90s is when it peaked. Yeah.
Right. And I was like just a teenager then, but even I knew what was going on in the news. At teenage pregnancy was at an all-time high, right? Do you know how they stopped that? They went into schools and they started educating teenagers. What are the effects when you have unprotected sex?
Mm-hmm.
That simple. And he said, hey, baby daddy, you're going to have a child now that you're going to be responsible for the rest of your life and you're going to be working for, and you may not have the resources yet. Okay. So why don't you plan a little bit better when you're doing this? And hey, mom, don't you want to have a career? Don't you want to have a chance to do something where, you know, and not be bogged down taking care of a baby at 15 years old? Because that's your baby. You're going to have to take care of it. Right. And they educated these children, and a lot of them bought into it. I said, okay, well, we can wait. We can wait until we get married and we have a family, so on and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It worked. So the evidence is there that if you teach children and give them good choices, right? So it has to be evidence-based. We have to be able to show that in the past, somewhere now, they have to be directly drug-related. Well, I'm sure we could find evidence somewhere that if we taught children and somewhere. So it has to be evidence-based, right? Type work. But more important is peer reviewed. It's where, and that's even harder to get. It's where, you know, right, peer reviewed. So we're not running after that, but there is some peer reviewed material out there. And set it up as a structured curriculum that the teachers can deliver to the children, teach them how to do it, right? Because they need to be taught how to do it. And along with even, you know, once we get even more money, creating, you know, nice videos, you know, 2-minute blip videos, professional,
right,
high-end videos that are attractive for young minds to see, you know, that will fit into their attention span, that, you know, don't make them sit through a 1-hour video. Nobody will watch that, but have a blip, a 5-minute blip that a teacher can throw up on a screen, okay, for the day, you know, or for once a week, you know, along with their text-based material that they deliver, okay, and talk about it. And then share this with the parents, that this concept of the kind of this circular community that we're creating, this circle environment that we're creating, and share that with the parents in this social media technology environment, using social media, which we're all used to, and a very controlled environment. We're gonna moderate it. We're gonna monitor it. You know, we're not gonna be getting to talk about anything other than addiction prevention, and everything goes on. As a whole, you know, even suicide, right, prevention. We're going to talk about that. We're going to include that too. As a whole, making children safer by talking about this, anything that involves with, that will lead a child to abuse themselves to the point that they will die. Okay. And addressing it from we're using the word substance use disorder more than abuse or substance abuse, because abuse takes a, when I see all everybody, like I have complete, very in the beginning when I was less knowledgeable, I would use the word substance abuse. And now if you looked at my LinkedIn page, you'll never see the word, you only see one of the very, very early posts may have the word substance abuse. But I was taught very, very quickly by the community to never use that word again. Very important. My language was formed, and now I believe in it, because what they're saying is that actually it's kind of a disease, actually. It's kind of an illness. And they show it's hereditary, you know, it comes down the line. And we have to be able to address that. So people are calling it substance use disorder. You'll have, that's, they call it SUD professionals are in their titles, mm-hmm, right? It's like this, that's the wave right now. I am very much on board with that. You know, I'm sold. That's what you'll watch me saying, hear me saying, see me writing all out there when I'm out there. So bringing everybody together, and I was kind of got off for a minute, sorry. The parents, okay, with the teachers, right? That's a line of communication we must reestablish. And that's a line of communication that has been broken since the telephone died, okay? Since everybody started texting each other and talking all kinds of toxic stuff on social media, using social media platforms for full toxicity, is that back, you know, at least when I was a kid, or you were a kid, we remember that the way it worked is if you misbehaved in school, when you came home, your parents already heard about it. Why was that? Because they picked up the phone. And, you know, even being, you know, married to a teacher in 2006 for a year and watching that when I would come home, she probably would take about 15 phone. This is 2006. This is right around when Facebook was getting started, right? It's about the time when we started pivoting to social media, but they were still taking phone calls. And there was about 10 to 15 calls every night with parents. And that line of communication is entirely and mostly dead, except for that PTA meeting. We have to reestablish that. Well, what are we going to do? Technology that people are comfortable with and very acclimated to, and just create this line of communication again. And we believe that's another very, very, very important line of communication to reestablish.
I love the fact that we want to reconnect and be able to share this information to different folks. Tell us about what how they can get connected with Social Bub and how that works going forward.
We're going to have an application on our website going forward. We're going to open this up, like I said, within the next few days to week. We're going to open this up to the public. And, you know, our community is going to be displayed. It's kind of going to look like a blog post. And if you want to go into comments, say, oh, you have to come in and you have to be part of the community. At this, in this very beginning phase of opening up the community, we're only, first of all, we're going to be bringing in all the people I've been having meetings with for the past, you know, 3 months. And that's quite a good, you know, number of A-listers. You know, people like yourself who are devoted to this cause, which is huge. And just having people like yourself and people like, you know, as an example, a fellow by the name of Carlos Vasquez, who I met, who just came out of prison 2.5 years ago, who spent the better part of his life in prison because he went in when he was 19, my age, went in when he was 19, and he pretty much just was released on, you know, 2.5 years ago, where his story is remarkable. So people like this, okay, who have reformed their lives or people in the space who want to support and want to move their work kind of from the treatment, a lot of professionals who are in treatment and recovery, extremely knowledge of treatment and recovery. They want to start advocating for prevention. Mm-hmm. They say this is really, really, really needed, right? And that being said, when we first open up, those are the individuals we're going to allow into our community. We're very, very, very selective in the beginning. It's going to be a small community. We will allow parents of children in who want to come into the community, who say, hey, I'm part of a school and I want to meet you guys and I want to learn how to bring my school in. Anybody that wants to lead us to a school, who wants to get involved in the project, okay? People who we are not going to allow into our platform and clearly reject at the door are people who we identify as people who want to come in to sell somebody something.
Yeah, that's a great point. You don't want it to be a place where people are spamming each other and using your list as their own personal business application. So,
yeah, we're gonna screen for that. We have a good application, and we're gonna screen for that really well. And being very, very active on LinkedIn and being pitched about 10 to 15 times a day.
I saw that when you said it, we're gonna be selective to do that. My first thought was he's learned this from LinkedIn. Because you and I had this discussion. We get hit. I got hit this morning on LinkedIn. Somebody just reached out and said, oh, it's really great to connect with you. And I'm like, we have no commonalities whatsoever. They're just scrolling through the place and trying to find people at random. So,
we can have a whole segment, podcast, to talk about what LinkedIn is. Me and my manager are running into a little snag just right now. The algorithm is changing. The algorithm is in constant motion. And we're noticing how they want us to be posting about, you know, make business better, great again, you know, kind of material, which is most of the material on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing our stuff, you know. So the pitch fest that's going on there, right? So we can see those people from a mile away, and LinkedIn has taught me that. Really, really thank you, LinkedIn. And I can see these people, smell them from a mile away, and so we're going to see them trying to get in our community, and we're just going to stop at the gate. And basically, anybody who wants to come in, look, they're a coach, right? And I get these calls all the time. If you're a coach, if you're a life coach, or you're any kind of coach, right, that wants to get involved, right, I'm going to shoot you a message right away. I do this all the time. Do you want to volunteer and coach youth? You know, and then we have great people like James who could teach you how to do that, right, in our community, right?
I appreciate that.
Right, but we're not going to pay you the first day in, right? You can build this up, and if you want to get into this, great. But if you're the next 1 millionth life coach on LinkedIn and you're trying to get into my platform to pitch a bunch of parents that you want to coach them, we're okay with that. You know, you can stay on LinkedIn.
We'll pass. Yeah.
We'll pass. Yeah. So that's kind of, you're asking like who we're going to let in. So we're going to be very, and this idea of creating this concentrated group of people shows that we're serious and the conversation is going to be very serious, you know, and it's just going to be about getting out to those schools and getting into those schools and getting the schools to allow us to bring this conversation. You know, one of the most, I've seen some brilliant people. One lady by the name of Kristen Gilliard, and she's created an amazing documentary on online, and she's out there, Vanguard, PhD, really, really, really. She has her own personal story. You should interview her, in fact. I don't know if I, but you're going to meet people like that on my platform.
Right.
Right. That's what's going to happen on my platform. And then, right. And that's that. That's a type I want to put you together with, Kristen. The easiest way to do that is have you on my platform together, right? Instead of needing to introduce you by email, stuff like that, right? So I'm conducting all these meetings. You're conducting all these meetings, and you're bringing these people in. You're going to bring them in to the platform. I'm going to bring people in that I'm meeting, and everybody's going to start bringing other people to their meetings. It'll be this huge community of people who just want to help the world. But ultimately, let's get into the schools. And these professionals are telling me they're having the hardest time getting into the schools.
Yeah.
Because we don't fit their agenda. Say it very bluntly, I'm sorry. But and we want to, well, it's not about an agenda. It's about, hey, kids are dying. That's the agenda right now. It quote Jelly Roll, the rapper, in front of Congress. Now, whatever that testimony and whatever the motivation was for that, I don't know the exact story behind that. I just know what he said. And he said that every day, a 737 loaded with people who are suffering from substance use disorder crashes, okay? And nobody cares about them because they're drug addicts.
Wow.
That quote, you could go back and watch that Jelly Roll interview on YouTube. It's all over the place, you know, and the whole world saw it. But what he's saying is that it's a loaded 737 every day that's falling out of the sky, full of people who are suffering and struggling with substance use disorder, and nobody gives a hoot about them. Why? Because they're addicts, and that has to change. And I'm not calling them addicts. I'm not calling them addicts. That's what the world says.
Right.
They're struggling.
Wow. Man, Zev, I really love this conversation. How besides the website, where else can they find you? How they connect with you on LinkedIn? Anywhere else?
Right now, we're vested in LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So my name is Zev Gutman, and my profile's open and social bug. All they have to do is search for me on LinkedIn. And right now, the way LinkedIn is the most powerful on Google. So if you even search my name, Zev Gutman, all the posts that will come up are on LinkedIn.
Ah.
The first post, that'll be at the top. I mean, you'll have like five rows down LinkedIn and then maybe my Facebook page. My Facebook page is very personal, but I just post things that I can post publicly. My Facebook page is also very transparent. I also have this rule. I was actually attacked on social media. This is kind of also along with watching the social dilemma. I was actually very severely attacked on social media on Facebook back in July of 2020, and actually cut off from social media for a year. It's part of what happened with this inspiration. So when I came back, I was very, I have a few rules, and you'll see in the application, you have to upload a really good photo of yourself and so on. So one of my strict rules about social media is I don't connect with anybody who doesn't have a real live photo of them. Okay. And literally, like, if I get a friend request on Facebook or a connection request on LinkedIn that doesn't have a real live photo of you, I block instantaneously. I don't even send a message. I block it instantaneously. Okay. And also, another hard rule that I put into place about my social media activity is if it can't be viewed publicly, then it's not posted. So I don't post anything for private consumption.
Right.
On social media.
With you 100% on that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. But LinkedIn.
LinkedIn is the best place.
And the website, you know, and like I said, once the application is open, those two environments right now, and we're going to be expanding to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram as time goes on. But it's just, you know, I'm funding this myself, and you need bandwidth for that, you know. So, yeah.
And audience, those of you who have stayed with us, they're listening to connect with him. Just look at the show notes. We'll have the links in the show notes. If you're listening, go to your favorite platform. You'll find it there. If you're watching on YouTube, you know the drill. Just look down and hit more information and it'll pop down. Seth, thank you for your time today. I really do value what you're doing and applaud the passion that you're bringing to this to fill this hole that is there in the delivery. So thank you so much for your time on discussing this with me today.
James, I could not be even more thankful. I mean, really, this is a great thing to do, and to be able to talk about it and express ourselves about the situation. It's real, and we are real about doing something about it. And a very early acronym that was said very early on when we said real, we had an acronym, relating everyone always with love. That was from our.
Ooh.
We don't have it on our website now. We may bring it back. But we're, like you said, you're real. I'm real about this. We're real about this. This is a real situation. And we're going to go out there and together, this community, we're going to make a real impact in the world. And we're going to lower that death rate. That's all our goal is to do. We're not going to stop everybody, but we're going to lower the death rate.
I love that. I love that passion. I love that mission. I love everything about it. Audience, thank you for sticking with us. Listen, if you've listened to us for this long, you stuck with us this long. You've obviously found value in what we're talking about today. You've been invested in this. So like and share or comment on this, but more importantly, share this because someone you know does not know about this episode and you can help them by sharing this information to them, sharing this particular episode to them so that they can learn more and possibly be connected as well. So thank you, audience, for sticking with us. Thank you, Zev, for joining us today. And we'll be back again really soon on another episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. And there you have it, another impactful episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. To all of our listeners out there, remember to hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform so you can never miss an episode. Want to be a part of the Generation Youth community? Follow us on all of our social media platforms. We'll keep you connected with all of our upcoming episodes and inspiring initiatives. You're not just a listener here. You're a catalyst for change. Together, we're building a future filled with promise, potential, and endless possibilities. This journey is just starting, so keep tuning in, keep growing, and let's continue uplifting our youth one episode at a time. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, let's keep sparking inspiration and igniting the future.